My guest at this time is Stephen Camerata. He's the director of research at the Center for Immigration Studies here in Washington. We want to get his insights as the Senate fails to advance any immigration bill over the past few days, most of which, if not all, did not meet with the approval of the Center for Immigration Studies. So what happens next, and is anything ultimately going to happen here? And Steve, thanks so much for being with us.
Sure. No problem. To remind your listeners, the Senate was trying to pass a bill that would both offer legal status to those who came to the United States at young ages, the so-called DACA recipients, and actually a more expanded population, and at the same time have enforcement at the border and reform the immigration system so as to reduce or perhaps reform chain migration, that is, the ability of immigrants, once they naturalize, to sponsor extended relatives. So that was what they tried to do, but none of the bills was able to reach a 60-vote threshold. Most of them were pretty broad amnesties, probably would go beyond, certainly well beyond, the people who currently have deferred action, is what they call it. And there was some attempts to reform the legal immigration system, but all those failed as well. So the bill that the president liked, I think, only got 39 votes, so it didn't even get a majority. That's partly because the Democrats, for the most part, are pretty unified that they want to try to keep immigration as high as possible, letting as most number of people in and increase it, and as expansive an amnesty as possible, and tend to not want to spend more on enforcement. And there are a lot of Republicans who tend to support that agenda, this kind of expansive immigration and so forth, and a generous amnesty, and are skeptical at the very least of enforcement. So it was very unlikely that anything would pass, but even if it had passed, it was unlikely that the House would do something like that. And then it also had to get a presidential signature, so it probably would have been vetoed. So that's where we're at. It's unclear what will happen now, probably not much. To remind your listeners of something else, although the DACA program is ending, so people will not be able to renew after March, a judge has ruled, actually more than one, that, crazy as it may sound, that although it was a discretionary policy and that's how it was sold, that the administration can't end the program. And so now there has to be the administration has appealed that legal decision, and so another set of judges will have to decide on appeal whether that original judge was right and can stop the ending of the program. They've also appealed it to the Supreme Court, so the Supreme Court may take it up and rule on it as well. So that's where we're at. So the program is sort of officially ending, but not really, because of legal rulings that could be overturned or not, and it's unlikely that anything's going to make it out of Congress. So that kind of sums it all up.
We're talking with Stephen Camerata, Director of Research at the Center for Immigration Studies. And Steve, the president threatened to veto what was known as the bipartisan bill this week. That was the Susan Collins, Mike Rounds, Chuck Schumer bill. That got 54 votes, but as you mentioned, not enough to get to the 60-vote threshold. I'm guessing that you guys didn't like that one very much either. It promised the same number, 1.8 million for legal status with a pathway to citizenship, as the president wanted, along with $25 billion for border security, which is what the president wanted. But what was different about it than the bill the president was pushing?
Well, as I recall, then it did not have any of the ending or phasing out of the chain migration categories, and it had some other things like directing about how priorities on enforcement would move forward, and it seemed that it was going to make it more difficult to enforce the law in some other area. So although the border might be more secure, the interior might be less secure. And so it had a lot of other things in it. And, you know, with immigration law, which is very complex, the devil's always in the details.
One of the things we also saw this week was Texas Senator Ted Cruz take to the Senate floor and not only oppose even the bill that the president wanted, which is one that you opposed as well, but he also said he cannot figure out why his party, which campaigned on strong immigration enforcement and in some cases reducing the amount of immigration, he says all of a sudden a big chunk of my party is to the left of Barack Obama. Is that hyperbolic from your perspective, or is he pretty much right on?
No, I don't think that would be right. I mean, I think there are people in his party on immigration who are to the left of Barack Obama, but the business types, the open borders, libertarians, and so forth. But I don't think to say that Obama was pushing for an amnesty for 10 million plus people. Nothing was that was not being seriously considered this time around by anyone in the Republican Party, though Lindsey Graham and John McCain and some others certainly would support a very, very permissive amnesty. That wasn't really on the table. So I don't quite agree with that. But his basic insight is not ridiculous, right? I mean, if you're the party of enforcement and against amnesty, the president was agreeing to a pretty generous amnesty of 1.8 million. But I think the reason he did that, and this is the way politics works, and you have to decide what you think of it, your listeners would have to decide, he thought that it was the only way he could get the things that he wanted, like the reform of the legal immigration system and the wall. The hope was that this trade-off, if you will, or bargain would go through. But some of his own party and all the Democrats didn't want it. So, well, there was one or two Democrats on some things that did want it. But basically, they didn't.
The main House bill, sponsored by House Judiciary Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte, is one that I think for the most part you guys like. That would grant legal status to the current DACA recipients, but not give them a pathway to citizenship. Does not provide that for the rest of the so-called Dreamers, and certainly not the family members, some of whom actually brought them here illegally in the first place. It would deal with chain migration, the diversity lottery, biometrics at the border, and other security measures. Does that bill, even if it were to pass the House, have a prayer in the Senate?
Probably not. No, it doesn't. So that's a fair point. The way I think the advocates for that bill wanted to proceed was, and remind your listeners, one of the reasons why you want to reform the chain migration system or stop, don't give full citizenship, give citizenship to DACA members, is that it means that eventually, and pretty quickly actually, they might be able to sponsor their parents. And the parents are the ones who brought them here. So you would be, the whole idea of a DACA amnesty was, all right, well, we'll do this for people who aren't to blame. But eventually it means amnesty for everyone who is to blame, unless you end those categories, like don't allow people to sponsor their parents to come in, or you don't give citizenship to the DACA recipients. You let them stay and work, but, they're not here legally. And so you're now giving them a legal status, but not amnesty. So that's the idea behind it. But what I think the advocates of the Goodlatte bill thought was, if we could pass the Goodlatte bill, that was sort of the ante. And then we'd see what the Senate does. Then we'd have to remember, as your listeners know, you'd have to have a reconciliation or a conference between the two houses that reconciles the difference between the bills, and then it would have to be voted on again. And hopefully that would produce something that was at least acceptable to everyone. But that was not what happened.
Stephen, given the bills that we've seen so far in the Senate, is the status quo better than what they want to do?
Yeah, I would have to say, in my view, yes, though neither is great. I don't think anyone could say that the status quo is very good, but the kind of broad amnesties and other things and weak enforcement that they had is probably worse. And which seems likely that the administration can overcome the ridiculous judicial activism that says they can't end the program, then it would put more pressure on Democrats, and then we might see some meaningful reform.
We'll certainly be watching, and glad to have your insights as we follow along. Thanks so much for being with us.
Sure.
Steve Camerata is the Director of Research at the Center for Immigration Studies. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.